I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. And we want to continue a study, a character study. Well, we looked at a lady this morning, her life in our Sunday school, and we're going to look at a different lady this morning for the message. I'd like to look at the life of Martha. I think there's benefit in looking at character studies. Of course, the central theme of the Bible is salvation and Jesus Christ. But there's a lot can be learned as we look at an individual's life in the Bible. A lot can be learned, some for the good and some for some good and some bad, but we can learn from it. So you can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. From what I noticed, Martha is only mentioned in two different passages in the Bible. Luke tells us here that we're going to read about the time when she was serving Jesus, when Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha was busy trying to get everything ready, and kind of paint Martha in an inferior perspective from Mary in that passage. And then John tells us, and we'll look at this later on, John tells us about her in relation to the death and resurrection of Lazarus. And we're going to look at that later on in the message. Now, I believe as you look at a character study, there's some will connect better than others. Depends on your personality this morning. If you have a personality that is similar to hers, you may connect in certain things better. I believe that by the little bit that we see in Martha's life, I believe that she was one that was quick to act, doing what needed to be done. If she saw a need, she was right there to do it. Just seems like that's the kind of woman that she was. She was a go-ahead type of person. Maybe she was the kind of person that would act now and think later. But she was quick to act on the needs she saw, and then possibly became overwhelmed at times with what she got herself into. She was one that was quick to serve others and busy herself with what needed to be done. She was more, like I said, that go ahead and take charge type of person. Now, Martha's name in the Greek means lady or mistress. So this has the idea of one that is ready to serve others. And so it's a very fitting name that she had. And there's one thing that I want us to think about as we look at the life of Martha, and that is our personality, whatever it is, whatever your personality is, can both be a great blessing and a hindrance and a challenge to us. And in a group of people this size, I know that we have, and I know all of you here, and I know that there's a difference in personalities. There are some that are more quiet, going to sit back and observe what happens, and if something needs done, you might be there. And there's others that are going to plow into something and then realize later what you got yourself into. And both of those have their good points and their bad points. They can both be good and bad. And so we need to remember that our personality, which however God made you, can both be a blessing and also a challenge for us. And it is good for us to embrace how God made us and be willing to be used in that way and be willing to learn. And this very first account that we're going to look at here in Luke, we have Martha. She was serving. She got upset with Mary for just sitting around. She wasn't doing anything. Here she was busy making, getting things going, and Mary was just sitting around. And in the last account we have of her, she is again serving. And Mary is also sitting around, but this time we don't have record of Martha getting upset. And so I believe we see in a little bit, glimpse into her life, we see some growth in her life. And I started studying this life of Martha, trying to keep an open mind as to what kind of person she was. And like I said, we often paint Martha a little bit on the negative side, I think. We use the term Martha, Martha. And, you know, when someone is getting worked up over something. We sometimes, Martha, Martha, you know, we remind them they're being like Martha, and you should be more like Mary. And there's some truth to that. But while there was some of these things you need to learn, I believe that the heart of Martha was right. She had a good heart, and we want to learn from her strong points as well as her weak points. Luke chapter 10, we'll read this short story here, starting at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, speaking of Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The first thing I want to learn from Martha's life is that Martha recognized and used her talents to serve her Lord. She recognized and used her talents to serve her Lord. I believe that Martha was being a great blessing to Jesus here. We don't know, there's a lot of details that we don't know about this story. We don't know how much of a heads up she had that Jesus was coming. Was she out working in the flower bed and she saw Jesus coming down the road and just spur of the moment said, come on in, I'll give you something to eat? Or was this planned for weeks on ahead? I don't know that. It was not an easy task to prepare a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And it says here, it talks about Jesus, but it says as they went. And right before that, Jesus is obviously with his disciples. So I would assume that this is Jesus and his disciples. And so it could have been, you know, if it was Jesus and his 12 disciples, there's 13 men. Was Lazarus here? We don't know. 14, Mary and Martha, 15, 16. 16 people, 16 adults, mostly men. That takes a fair amount of food, a fair amount of work, and it's not easy to prepare a meal for this group of people. And it probably required more time and energy than what we have today with our modern conveniences. Martha couldn't go pull a frozen pizza out of the freezer and pop it in the oven for a little bit, warm it up, and we're good to go. This was probably getting the wood, getting the fire started, getting things heated up, we don't understand the culture, and I think we miss so much by not knowing the culture. And that's why I also appreciated what was read in Sunday school, because I believe the more that we understand a culture, the more we're going to get out of a story. And so there's a lot that we don't know here. But we know it was a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of energy. It probably was not very cheap to provide for this amount of men, but Martha was willing to use her resources. Again, we're talking about this amount of men and the amount of food that it took. We know that Jesus and his disciples probably did not stop at McDonald's for a coffee and whatever on the way there like we often do today, and kind of takes our appetite away. Maybe they pick something out of the field, I don't know. But it took a fair amount of food, and Martha was willing to use her resources to serve her Lord. The other thing that we don't often think about is that it could have been potentially dangerous to serve Jesus in this way, because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and Bethany was only about 1.5 miles from Jerusalem. And in this time, there was men in Jerusalem that did not like Jesus very good, wanted to see him killed. And they were watching Jesus. They were watching to see who was associating with Jesus. And inviting Jesus into your house was identifying yourself as showing good to him. And that could have been potentially dangerous. But all of these things, the cost, the time, the energy, the danger, all these things did not faze Martha in her willingness to serve Jesus in this way. And I believe that Jesus appreciated Martha's hospitality and willingness to serve him in this way. With the Jews hating him, I believe it had to be uplifting to go inside a house where you had friends and you could just visit, you could pour out your heart, and you didn't have to worry about someone in the crowd that was being critical of what you're saying and asking you questions to try to trap you and to say something wrong so that we had a reason to kill you. And you could just go in and you could unload and you could talk friend to friend. Now today we can't physically serve Jesus like Martha did, but we serve him today by serving others. Keep your finger here in Luke 10 and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 9 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here he says, we need to have hospitality without grumbling, without grudging. And there is a difference between doing something for somebody because it's our duty, because we have to, or doing something out of love. As parents, we recognize this in our children. We know sometimes children do something because we tell them they have to do it. And that's good. We're teaching them things, we're teaching them responsibility, and they do things because they have to do it. But it is a blessing when we see a child, one of our children, that do something because without being told, because they want to be useful, they want to be helpful, and they love to be a part of the family, and they know that's what that you want it done, and so they do it. So there's a difference between doing something for someone out of duty or out of love. And hospitality is bound to cost us something. It is going to cost us our time, our money, our resources. It's going to cost us. And we can either focus on what that service will cost us, or we can focus on the benefit of it and what we can do for Jesus. We are expected to show hospitality based on the gifts that we have received. That's what he's talking about here in 1 Peter. There are different ways to serve others, but all of us are called to serve. Some are better at entertaining groups of people at short notice. You can kind of expect that if there's visitors at church Sunday evening, sometimes there'll be someone real quick, hey, just come on over. I don't know what we're going to have. Or maybe you show up a Sunday morning and come on over for lunch. We'd love to have you over. And they weren't expecting company. And the table's not going to be spread with all the seven sweets and seven sours, but you might have scrapple and eggs or whatever. Just get something out and we're going to have a good time. Some do better at entertaining groups of people on short notice like that. Some do better at thinking of others and doing things for them. I remember not too long ago, my wife was having a very busy week with different things going on in the family. And one of the sisters at church sent her a message and said, hey, don't worry about fellowship me. I'm taking your food for you. And that was just one thing that was checked off the list. We don't have to worry about it. And that was a blessing. There's some people that are good at thinking about those things and say, I'll do that for you. But that person may not be very good at inviting a large crowd over a short notice. Some do better at reaching people one-on-one through work relationships. Or any type of relationship. They just connect, and they're quiet people, but they connect one-on-one. The next person may be a good influence, a good leader, or maybe good at going and visiting in people's homes or prisons or hospitals and doing things like that. You know, we all have different personalities. We all have different gifts. And we are all expected to serve. We don't all have to serve the same way, but we're all expected to serve based on the gifts and the abilities that we have. And that's what Martha was doing here. I believe that one of her abilities was to serve Jesus in this way, and that's what she was doing. So we must recognize that it is easy for us to take the graces that God gives us and use them selfishly. It is easy to take those blessings, the graces and the gifts, the talents that God gives us, and use them for our own benefit and use them to serve ourselves. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. The same way we have a desire to have our needs met, we must endeavor to help others. It could be physical needs, it could be spiritual needs, it could be emotional needs. There's many different ways, but just like we have a desire to have our needs met, that should be our desire to meet the needs of others. Going back to Luke chapter 10, the second thing that I see in the life of Martha is that service does not always look like what we think it should look like. Service doesn't always look like we think it should look like. It says here that Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, the word cumbered means to drag all around, to distract with serving Jesus. And we can use our imagination a little bit and what all she was doing. Again, we don't have a lot of details, but what was it that was distracting? What was it that was weighting her down with this act of service? Well, maybe she wanted to make sure that the food was prepared on time. If we have an extinguished guest, someone, an important person coming, we want to make sure the food is on time. You do not want supper to be late if you have an important person coming. Possibly she wanted to have a variety. Maybe she was trying to get the appetizer ready and the salads and the main course and the dessert and get the coffee on and all those different things. And she wanted to not only dump all the fruit in a bowl, but she wanted to arrange it real nice so it looks nice because Jesus is here. And you all know what it's like to, there's different ways that you can present food that it looks attractive. And maybe this was part of her life and it was weighing her down. And in the meantime, while trying to get all this food ready, she's trying to get the house cleaned up. If she didn't know that Jesus was coming, well, Lazarus didn't put his robe away, and we got to get this cleaned up, and this is the dirty wash is laying here. We got to get things put away, and we're trying to get the house cleaned up. We just have to use our imagination. Whatever she was doing, it was dominating her life right then. It was overwhelming her, and Jesus could see her feelings and her emotions. And he knew that these things were causing her stress. In verse 41, he says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And Jesus could see her heart and her mind. And he understood that she was troubled and stressed. That word careful means to be anxious about. And troubled means to make turbid. And I had to look that up. Turbid means confused or obscure in meaning or effect. So her service was causing her to be anxious and confused. Her priorities were twisted. Her priorities were mixed up. Her idea of serving became more important than the reason or the motive for serving. Her idea of having everything right, having everything on time, and offering this food to Jesus became more important than the reason or the motive for serving, I believe. You see, service isn't always about the physical things of life. Martha was cumbered about much serving that it kept her from what mattered the most, and that's what Jesus told her. And I believe that this is what Jesus was trying to lovingly tell her in verse 42, 41 and 42. Mary had chosen the good part, sitting and learning from Jesus. Her spiritual life was far more important than any physical preparations that she could have been doing. Building relationships and talking heart to heart is more important than the physical, and we need to remember that. Building relationships, the spiritual aspect, emotion, building relationships with people is always more important than the physical. The physical is important as well. But I believe that building relationships and talking heart to heart is more important than the physical. And we cannot conclude that the physical things are not important. We just simply need to prioritize our serving others. Sitting and listening to someone, and we do good at this sometimes. As Mennonites with our work hard mentality, we are taught to work hard, and we like to get in and get something done. And so maybe a neighbor man, he's a needy soul, he needs a lot of help, and we see there's firewood that needs cut and split. And so we put it out on the chat, on the men's chat, and we say, hey, who can help this Saturday? Let's cut and split wood for my neighbor. And so you get 6, 7, 8 volunteers. Come over, these men show up with chainsaws and wood splitters, and 2 hours later, the whole stack of firewood is split, it's stacked, it's ready to go, and you go on to the next thing. And that's a good thing. We don't want to lose that. But sometimes sitting and listening to someone open up may be more important than getting his stack of firewood split and stacked for him. And maybe he appreciates that the firewood is stacked and it's all done for him. But in the end, all he wanted was for someone to sit down and answer some questions. All he wanted was for someone to talk to. He's craving a relationship. He's craving, maybe his wife died a year ago or whatever, and he doesn't have many friends, and he's craving friendship. And we come in there, and we stack his firewood for him, and we go on to the next thing. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Jesus cared about the physical, but mostly, and he even performed some miracles to take care of the physical aspects of people. But mostly, as we look at the life of Jesus, he cared about the spiritual. And I want us to consider this morning, could the physical things in life be distracting us from the spiritual? Could the physical things distract us from taking care of the real needs of people? Something for us to consider. Service can never precede worship, but worship must precede service. And I don't know if you've listened to Stephen's message. Stephen Burkholder at mission meeting last fall, was it? I think that's when it was. Worship that precedes service. If you didn't listen to it, you should listen to it. It's a good message. But service must be a result of worship, not the other way around, and we need to remember that. And so service does not always look like what we think it should look like. The third thing I would like to see in this account is that we should not be critical of others that don't share the same gifts that we have. Martha's intense focus on serving caused her to have a critical spirit, I believe. In verse 40, we see that Martha was cumbered about much serving, and then she went and she's complaining. She's being critical of Mary. And it's interesting, I hadn't thought about this before, but she is actually critical of not only Mary, but she is critical of Jesus. The way she comes to Jesus and she actually attacks him, saying, don't you care? Don't you care that Mary is just sitting here while I'm trying to serve? So I want to think about those two aspects for a little bit. Have you ever been critical of God when you compare your responsibilities and rewards to others? Have you ever been critical of God? When you look at the service opportunities that you have and your responsibilities and the rewards that you're getting compared to other people? Martha felt like she had the heavier end of the stick, I believe. Here she was on all this food, and Mary is just sitting there doing nothing. And she went to Jesus complaining, asking him if he doesn't even care about this. And Jesus says, no. I don't care. But he said it in a very loving way. In a very loving and caring way. First of all, Jesus could tell that her priorities were mixed up, I believe. And secondly, God wants us to serve him unconditionally. We don't compare what others are doing. We're not to compare what I have to do versus what you have to do. It's not about fairness or reward, but out of love for Him that He wants us to serve Him. Sometimes we look around us and we feel that God isn't fair. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. I want to read a parable there that Jesus talked about. Matthew chapter 20. Start reading at verse 1. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last one unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many shall be called, but few chosen. Now, I understand that this parable is talking about the different times that people enter the kingdom of God, and the reward is the same. That's one of the that's, I think, the theme of this parable. Some serve God their entire lives, while others choose God at the 11th hour. And the reward is the same for both. But I want us to think about it. Our call of duty to serve is between us and God, and not others. Our call of duty to serve Him is between us and God. And the man of the house makes that very clear. He says, What is that to you? Putting it in my own words. We agreed on your reward, and I have been fair to you. And this is between you and me, and what I pay them is between me and them. You don't need to worry about that. It's not about pulling equal loads with equal rewards. That's not what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It's not that we all make sure we have the same load and the same rewards, but it's about serving God. It's about me serving God by serving others and doing what I can do. Have you ever been critical of God when you compare your responsibility? Have you ever been critical of others because they aren't serving like you? When we are feeling overwhelmed with service responsibilities, it's easy to become critical. We become critical of others for not helping us or seeing the needs like we see us, and it feels like we have everything, we have all the responsibility, and while here we're tied up and we're doing this whatever service work it is, our friends over here, our brothers over here, they're going off and they're fishing and it seems like they don't have anything. They have a day they can work at home and get projects done, and here I am serving others. And we get the feeling that life isn't fair because while we serve, they're just enjoying life. And I want you to know that there are times Satan likes to get preachers to feel this way as well. It's a beautiful Saturday, and I have to preach tomorrow morning, and here I have to sit. I have so much work I could get done, and I have to sit in my office. Why do I have to do this? We struggle. I'm pretty sure you're all the same as I am. I think I know you good enough. But I believe it's the same for you as well. Pray for your ministry, but pray for each other as well, because it's not just us ministry that struggle with that. I know you all struggle with that, the same thing. You have responsibilities, and life doesn't always feel fair. God has given each of us different gifts by which we are to use for his honor and glory. We said before that we have different personalities. Some of us are the go-ahead and take-charge type, like Martha. Some of us are the quiet one-on-one type, like Mary. But regardless of our gifts and abilities, we're responsible how we use our gifts and abilities, not how others use theirs. We're responsible for ourselves. We aren't responsible for what gifts others do or don't have, but we are responsible for our attitude towards them, towards other people. And when we start to compare ourselves among ourselves, there's one of two things are going to happen. When I start comparing my life to your life and the things I have to do compared to what you're doing, there's one of two things are going to happen. We can look down on others and be critical because they aren't serving like we are. And so we look down on other people. And in this, we tend to elevate ourselves above them. Or the other thing that can happen is that we can feel inferior towards someone that has talents that we don't have. And we can say, well, look how they're able to prepare that meal. Look how they're able to serve others in such a wonderful way. And it seems like it doesn't faze them. And then we begin to feel inferior. And so we shouldn't compare ourselves or among ourselves, but instead we look at what our gifts and abilities are and we faithfully serve God using those gifts and abilities. Let those that are the Marthas go ahead and take charge, and let the Marys do the one-on-one and just connect with people. The fourth thing I want to see is that Martha was a woman of faith. And for this, we want to turn to John chapter 11. I want to leave the story of Martha serving and go to the story of the death of Lazarus. In John chapter 11, and in this passage, Lazarus is sick. It's a well-known passage, but Lazarus is sick. And so they send for Jesus. They call for Jesus and say, come. Lazarus is sick. Your friend is sick. You need to come heal him or he's going to die. And when Jesus gets the news, he tarries a few more days where he's at before he heads off. And in the meantime, Lazarus dies. And so Mary and Martha and the community, they're mourning over the death of Lazarus. And when Martha hears that Jesus is coming into town or he's getting close, she gets up and she slips out and she runs off to meet Jesus. And we're going to start reading this story here in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his face, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. We'll stop reading there. Did you think about Martha's greeting to Jesus? I believe that her greeting to Jesus was an expression of her faith. In verse 21, Martha comes unto Jesus and says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And it was an expression of faith. And I believe there's a difference in her response here than in Luke 10. In Luke 10, she came to Jesus with a very critical spirit. But I believe that here she had a different heart, and it was an expression of faith, a statement of faith. She wasn't being critical that Jesus didn't show up sooner. She was telling him that she believed in his power, because she says it in verse 21. She believes that if he had been here, he wouldn't have died, and that even now, whatever he asks, God will give it to thee. She was telling him in verse 21 that she believed in his power, and she was also letting the situation in God's hands in verse 22. In the hands of Jesus, she's saying, whatever you do, I'm leaving it in your hands. I believe that verse 22 is a statement of her faith. Verse 21 is a statement of her faith, and verse 22 is a proof of her faith. Because a proof of our faith is not only telling God that we believe in him, but it's letting things in his hands. And she was turning the seemingly impossible over to him. In faith, sometimes I believe our minds need to follow our heart. I want to try to explain what I mean by that. In verse 39, I believe in Martha's heart, she believed that God would do anything that Jesus asked. She says it, and I believe that in her heart she believed it. She understood that God was powerful, was all powerful, and that whatever Jesus asked, he could do. But when it came down to the test, and when Jesus said, roll that stone away, Martha's mind had to catch up to her heart, I believe. She says, now wait a minute, it's been 4 days. I don't think you want to take that stone away. And that was only common sense. Common sense was, you leave that stone where it's at, because it's not going to be a pretty picture when you open that stone. It's not going to smell good. But sometimes I believe common sense wants to get in the way of our faith. Maybe we have faith. We say we have faith, and I believe we do have faith, but sometimes common sense gets in the way of our faith. Common sense, like I said, told Martha that the stone had just better stay right where it was, but it was the faith that removed the stone and gave life to Lazarus. And I wonder sometimes how often we miss a blessing or a miracle from God because of common sense. God says, you should do this. And we say, well, that doesn't make any sense. And we do it this way. Whether it's in our finances or in calling to a service work or whatever it is, there's many different applications. You apply it to whatever area in your life that applies to you. But God tries to lead us one direction, and we say, that looks a little too risky. We better just leave that stone where it's at. And if we'd only be willing to go through that door, God could work a miracle. God wants us to follow him in faith. How often does our common sense hinder our faith? Well, the last thing that I want to see in the life of Martha is that Martha comforted others with the comfort that she found. Now, either there's more to this story than what is written here, and there was more of a conversation between Martha and Jesus than what is written, or else Martha was just trying to get Mary to go to the source of the comfort that she found. But Martha went and found Jesus, and she comes back and she tells Mary, she said, the master is calling for you. You need to go to the master. And so it was through Martha that Mary gets up and goes to Jesus. We don't read that Jesus asked for Mary to come, but perhaps he did. We don't know. But regardless, Martha directs Mary to go to Jesus. And I believe that as they were in that house and they were mourning over Lazarus, I believe that when Martha got up and went and found Jesus, I believe she found comfort in Jesus. I believe she found comfort in his presence, because that's always how it is. And when we come to Jesus, we find peace, we find comfort. And then she went back and she led Martha led Mary to that source of comfort. And we receive the grace of God in our lives so that we can comfort others with it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to read two verses here, verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see what he's saying in this verses? That the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, comforts us. We all have felt that. We all have felt the comfort of God. We've experienced the mercies of God in our lives. But then he goes on and he says, and he explains why. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God. You see, God has accepted us into his family. We have been adopted through Jesus Christ into the family of God. And we have received so many blessings through that. As his children, we are recipients of his grace, his strength, his power. And it's a wonderful relationship that we have that those in the world do not have. And this passage tells us that these blessings are not just for us to enjoy, but it's so that we can comfort others. You see, we need to be faithful in guiding others, those that are hurting, those that are in trouble, those that are mourning. Take them to the source of comfort. Lead them to Jesus and say, Jesus wants you to come. Jesus wants you to come, and you'll find peace, you'll find mercy, you'll find grace and strength. Go to Jesus. And we lead others, we point others to Jesus, because that's where the grace and the mercy and strength comes from. And so we have a responsibility. Martha comforted others with the comfort that she found, and we have the same responsibility today. Well, this morning, whether you're a Martha or a Mary personality, both are important. Both are very important and can be very useful in the kingdom of God. God wants us to use the gifts and the talents that he has given us to serve him And the main thing is that we are faithful in serving him however we can, however God, with whatever talents he has given you, be faithful in serving others. Let's kneel for prayer.